podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Migs Cast. My name is Steve Migs. I am here with the Reverend in Fuego.
Hello.
Hello. Glenn Cannon.
How do?
We do
how
good.
Do. How do?
How do do?
This is going to be the longest podcast ever, like we mentioned last week.
And by five longest, and a half hours.
What are we going to do, about 30 minutes?
Yeah-ish.
I thought about calling you guys and seeing if we could have like pre-tracked the ending, you know, where the Gotta Stay Positive kicks in and you just start saying the farewells.
Yeah.
But so like the intro music fades and then it goes right into that.
Oh, that'd be great.
Then we post that as a show.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, funny. Thanks for joining us on the Migs Cast.
And that's our podcast. Thanks so much for joining us.
So people be like, was there a hiccup? Was there a glitch? Or was there just no content?
It'd be great if Rev just fires it off right now. Hey, Glenn, what's going on this weekend? Got any shows coming up?
No, man, no. I think I'm going to be down at Club SUR Friday night to check out a show. And then if all goes well, I'll be taking a motorcycle trip to Oregon.
Oh.
Leaving on Sunday. Going to ride the coast all the way down, about a 10-hour ride.
Wow. I got Friday 3-2-1 battle. Saturday, I'm going to be in Oregon for Defy Portland.
Oh, no, I'll be too far south or I'd come up.
Son of a.
I'll be in southern Oregon.
Sunday, Defy Tacoma at Jazz Bones, Rev.
Nice.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So, hey, man, I hope you guys have a great weekend and thanks for listening and stay positive. I'm just kidding.
When the wrestling ends at Jazz Bones, are they still coming around with those jello shots and syringes?
Oh, I hope geez.
So. So you got wrestlers and jello shots. What could be.
Last time I was there, it was for Bruiser Brody.
Nice.
And that was when I was basically stapled to the wall because we hit Mary Mart beforehand.
Shout out to Billy. Shout out.
And somebody brought the wife and I the jello shot syringes.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, this is weird. Don't mind if I do.
That's how they should start every match.
Dude, I agree.
You just inject both wrestlers.
You need to shoot a wrestler in the eye with a jello shot and blind them.
Kind of like the old days when they would spit the green mist.
Oh,
but now you
just
spit. Yeah.
Who did that?
Oh, my gosh. There's
was
been
it
a few.
Muda?
I think Great Muda did it for sure.
Yeah.
Mr. Fuji did the salt.
Yeah. The salt. That was awesome.
Yeah. It's always good.
Didn't know it about that. Sounds terrible, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you incapacitate the other wrestler to win the match.
Salt. That'll do it.
Yeah, those bad guys.
Yeah. Well, we did promise that this episode, because we have our big muckety muck boss from Philadelphia in town, and he'll be showing up any minute. The seats are all set up. I don't even think we're getting food served to us.
No, we're not even getting food.
I mentioned your plan where I saw Ryan and BJ out there, and I'm like, hey, so Steve was saying, you know, I should just gather up all the questions.
Drop pipe bombs.
None of the staff wants to ask, and then ask him. And Ryan said something about, like, yeah, ask him if they're bringing back talent fees. He'll love that. and I went, do you want me to? And Ryan and BJ both went, no.
Ask him about podcasting.
That whole, who's that guy? It's like, that guy doesn't even work here.
Why aren't you on air personalities getting paid for all the extra work? Oh, that's a bad question.
Probably
this podcast is being shut down now, unfortunately.
If you have to edit that to save your jobs, I understand.
Yeah, I think we're good.
That's pretty funny, though. So we said we're going to do some voicemails, some emails, some text messages, because we're kind of backed up on a lot of them, especially emails and texts. We got a lot of those. We got some voicemails as well. So why don't we just jump right into that? Before we do, of course, this is going to probably end up being the whole podcast, because I got to ask, because you had a great story about how the parking Nazi downstairs
you guys all
has
know
trained
about
all
no parking
Seattle.
For you.
Yeah, my buddy Herr Himmler down there on the street. So I actually had, you know, I hit the first time drawbridge was up, so I rode the shoulder almost all the way down 509.
I heard you jumped the bridge on your motorcycle. Dukes of Hazzard.
Evil Knievel. I'm more like Super Dave Osborne.
There you go.
Following your dad's footsteps.
Yeah, right, you know? Yeah. So I was like, okay, I really don't want to. I tried to plan it as such that I would be here right at 10 to get the cheap parking and not have to pay for the garage, which is easily twice as much.
Yeah.
Then, sure enough, and that was funny too, because it's really warm out today, so everyone has their windows down.
I
was
80 degrees, baby.
Yeah,
downtown, getting ready to cross the train tracks to get up and over the 90 on ramps that way down by the stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, the gates come down. It was hilarious because I'm not used to this, but everyone had their windows down, and you just hear like eight people all at the same time.
F-bomb.
God damn it.
Fudge.
And at first it startled me. I'm like, good God. I'm like, oh, that's right. They all have their windows down. Of course, I'm on my bike, so I just flipped a U-ey and I was out of there.
Yeah. You're like, suckers.
Oh, nice.
Traffic coming up now past like Getty Images and all those buildings to the right of Elysian Fields before you go into that first bridge downtown proper. Traffic down there was a nightmare. I was doing the motorcycle thing and using the bus lane.
Oh, I was going to say using the sidewalk.
Breaking the law.
In an intersection corner, I got stuck between a couple buses. The bus driver had his window open. It was great. It was like, he went, I'm a bus. And I kind of shrugged as if to say, and so you are. You know,
and you should be like, I'm a motorcycle.
Yeah, I'm a motorcycle. Good luck. You know, unless we see a cop, this is going down.
Like, have you seen a teapot?
Oh, yeah. And then he took out his vengeance on some poor cyclist, because a second later, he was kind of buckled. He had to swing into the left lane to get into the bus lane because it was a tight corner, and some cyclist went between him and the box truck that and he went bonk and laid on the horn. I saw that cyclist leap out of his own skin. Dude, I thought that was really uncool.
Bus drivers have zero F's given when it comes to like merging into lanes, and they will kill a person.
Yeah, legally they have the right of way.
Right,
so no matter what,
people.
They can do whatever they want. Yeah. They're dangerous.
And if it's your job to do this all the time, I would be over it instantly.
That's right. He's not even a human anymore. He's a bus.
And that guy saw me. Yeah. Straight up, he looked at me like,
I'm a bus.
I'm a bus. And I was like, and so you are. You know,
it's not wrong. You're going to get splattered if it goes wrong.
She's like, sir, you should get that checked out, because last I saw you were a human.
No, it was a parking. We were all in a parking lot together, and I'm like, man, I need to get to the station.
Mm-hmm. Glenn Pate.
You guys have all heard my tales of, you know, Herr Himmler, the parking guy down there.
That will ticket you if you're even a minute early for that spot.
So I round the corner, and I was excited to see there was still a spot left, because man, if you come at like 10:02, forget it.
Done.
And I'm like, nice. And that, I also didn't wear my watch, so I was like, that's a good indicator that I'm not as late as I thought all this BS so far had made me.
That's funny.
Because there's still a spot. So I back in, I park my bike, I take my helmet off, I pop off my bike, I walk over to the pay to park thing, and there's easily 10 adults leaning against the wall. And I'm like, what the F? And I kind of walk up and I'm like, hey guys. And everyone kind of looks up, hey. And I'm like, are you all waiting to pay? And all of them are like, oh, God, yeah. It's like they had all had a run-in.
How funny is that?
With this guy.
We need a support group, just the parking guy.
And see, I pulled out my phone, and I'm like, it's 9:59. And they're like, oh, yeah. Man, you can't even play down here.
Yeah.
And sure, and so I was.
Chuck is a massive douche.
Dude, like, sure enough, man.
I don't know why he's Chuck, but he is Officer Chuck.
Everyone was watching their mobiles, and the lady in front was actually watching the counter on the meter. I bet there's a story behind that. Like, one time I paid at 9:59, but the meter wasn't.
Got nailed.
And then, boom, everyone just started lining up and pay. But that's, I would have been up here at 10 sharp.
Had it not been the line.
But I had to wait.
Gotta get the parking app.
All these rational grown folk from all walks of life were gathered together in collective.
Towing that line, man.
Yeah, man.
All because of Officer Chuck.
Dude, he owns it.
Chuck Shoe.
Yeah. He owns it. That is his. Like, dogs come by and I smell his urine. They know that is his section of block, dude.
Dude, I swear by that parking app. I don't know if you have that.
No.
Oh, it's so great. You could just pay on your phone. And then I even have to deal with all those stupid meters anymore. And it'll even tell you when you're about to expire, so you can re-up.
Does it show a picture of that guy's face flashing in red?
Yes.
With that, the Kill Bill evil sound, the wee.
You know the funny thing is, the app allows you to show a picture of your car. That way, they
being towed.
That's true, right? So mine is just a picture of me with the car behind it, smiling. Like, I figured if I look likable, maybe they'll be a little more lenient on me if I'm a couple minutes late.
I don't trust
Chuck though.
I don't trust those apps though, because once you do those apps and you do it on the apps, it's under their little electronic signal. They're going to know about it. If you don't pay, they're going to go right in there, swoop in. If you're even a minute late, they already got you on the timer, and they're going to ticket you immediately.
I have forgotten, because a lot of times I'll go do wrestling training on Fridays, and we have to pay anywhere around that area by Evolve Fitness. And I'll do the thing, and then sometimes you get caught up in the middle of like doing something in the training, and you're like, oh, I got 7 more minutes before I have to pay my parking. Cool, I got some time. Let's do this drill. Next thing you know, 45 minutes to an hour goes by. I'm like, oh, I forgot to pay my parking. Yeah. And so I re-up it because I'm too lazy to go outside to check.
Yeah.
But then when I get back to my car, there's no ticket. So,
wow. So they must know.
So they're lenient. Well, they got to still show up, man. They still got to show up. They got to see the car there. They got to write the ticket. They got to put it on your windshield.
Yeah. I mean, the pay must be good, you know?
Because
it was like, look, dude, you can be a meter maid or you can clean windows on a skyscraper. And I'd be like, I'll do the skyscraper. Like, I thought you didn't like heights. I don't.
But I also like people liking me.
I like people liking me. Not only do I like to be liked, but I like people. I don't want to ruin anyone's day.
I'd be the worst parking enforcement person. I'd just be like, you know what?
I told you about the lady who was a foot from me that wouldn't make eye contact with me.
Oh,
I was trying to leave and she stepped in front of the vehicle and wouldn't let me pull out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, ma'am, it's 11. I'm leaving now. I was delivering a 65-inch monitor. I was in a delivery van for the AV company I work for sometimes. And she just would not acknowledge me. I'm like, ma'am, if you move, I'm leaving. I can pull out. Legally, I can pull out now. She wouldn't leave. And I was like, ma'am, I understand now that you're going to cite me no matter what. Would you please just acknowledge that I'm speaking to you? And she would not look at me. She would, and I said, ma'am, please, I'm not being difficult. I'm not trying to challenge your authority. I don't agree with the situation, but please at least acknowledge, at least tell me, I'm sorry, we've had too many issues down here. I can't let that slide.
Right. I'm not putting up with your crap.
This is literally what I'm doing. I'm like, just acknowledge me. Acknowledge that I'm speaking to you. She would not make eye contact. She wouldn't do it.
She's over your crap, man.
Dude.
Do you think, though, that she goes back to the office and goes, oh, I totally nailed it. I didn't talk to a guy who begged me to talk to him. Like, there's like a little like office pool.
Yeah, she gets the $20.
Yeah, she's like, I'm leaving.
The Starbucks gift card.
That was her thing. It's like Super Troopers for the day. You can't talk to anybody.
No matter what
and
they
you
say.
You have to write a citation for everybody.
Sir, I can see you trying to leave right meow.
Right meow. But
wait, are you saying meow?
Are you saying meow? Do I look like a cat? Am I rolling around all nimbly pimbly? Do you see me chasing mice?
All right, why don't we jump right into it? Our voicemails, our text messages, and our emails.
Which one of these mails shall we pick?
Sorry, I like this one. I know. We have other ones.
I wouldn't know that.
Cowbell. I love that. Cowboy hat rules.
Tink. I think we need more echo on that cowbell, Ziggy. Bing, bing,
bing, got a bing, fever, bing. Ziggy.
All right, 253-271-4787 or themigscast@gmail.com. Let's start with the text messages. Just watch the video montage of the match between you and Officer Cooper. The mother effing montage.
Even Rocky had a montage.
Yeah. What a great showing by both of you. Two questions.
Yeah.
Why was he targeting your knee so much, and what have you been doing to get in such good shape? I'm 6'1", 260 pounds, and I want to get down to 215 pounds. Any tips? He targeted my knee because in the world of wrestling, you want to create drama, and sometimes the way to create drama is to target a body part. So he saw I have a knee brace, and that's a legitimate injury that I've had, so I wear a knee brace. So when he hit the knee brace, I sold it. If you watch the whole match, one day I'll get that whole match up there. But in the full match, the announcers talk about it. He targeted the knee. So he spent the entire match. And you'll see even in the video montage.
Montage!
I'm like hobbling a lot because I'm still nursing that knee. So it's just about, in the world of wrestling, you try and create drama, sometimes non-verbally. And one of the best ways to do it is an injury. And I have a perfect instant injury anytime anyone wants to target my knee.
One of the famous ones.
Which actually hurts today for some reason. I don't know why, but it hurts.
Yeah, it's the old age, buddy.
I think it's the weather.
One of my favorite ones was, like Starrcade or something. So this is going back in the day, but it was Brian Pillman, and he had the huge shoulder injury, and Sid Vicious was just wrecking the dude.
I mean, that adds sympathy.
Yeah.
I listen to his podcast. Mike Quackenbush, he's a wrestling guy, and now you listen to his podcast.
What was his last name?
Quackenbush. I know, that sounds naughty.
The truth is, I bet after high school, he wasn't the one to mess with.
Right?
I bet that guy, it's like, don't make fun of his name, man. You don't understand. That kid from the eighth grade is still in a coma.
But he says, his podcast is really good, even if you're not a wrestler. It's called Kayfabe 2.0. It's like, if you're just any kind of artist or performer, I've gotten a lot of tips that I've applied to our radio jobs based on what he talks about, because he's just really in tune with the entertainment and art of it all. But he says the international language is pain.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that anyone can relate to. It doesn't matter if like you're wrestling in Mexico, wrestling in Russia, wherever it may be. If you show pain and you do it well, you can get sympathy because people understand what pain feels like.
Mm-hmm. And they hate it. Well,
it's deep, man.
I'm not fond of pain.
No, I'm not either.
Oh, you're not?
Pain's got my address. It knows where I sleep.
It knows where you are.
So that's why the knee was targeted. And it says, as far as getting in good shape, I mean, I'm still battling that. But I mean, honestly, it's just eating better. The McFlurries. Maybe one less McFlurry a week.
having baby steps.
Having a vegan wife helps.
Oh gosh, yeah. Having a person that can hold you accountable.
Slide that in at the end.
It does help,
bro.
Accountability, man. And if you've got someone on your side doing all of it, or at least yelling at your mom.
And dude, like as far as like just doing something active, find something that you like doing that is maybe helps you break a sweat. For me, it's hockey and wrestling.
Slap a child.
Yeah.
slapping children makes cleanse sweat.
Historically, it is shown that child slapping will help burn more calories than basketball or sex.
Depending on the child, too. Combined. I mean, it's kind of like trying to shoot a crow with a bow and arrow. I mean, they're hard to hit. And depending on the kid, it's challenging. It is hard work. And you got to get in there and you got to earn it. And you got to put your shoulder into it. But you got to be quick. You got to be able to, you know, bob and weave. You got to be ready.
The Rocky montage with the chicken, but it's just Glenn with a child.
But, you know, one of the best things I did was, and it's a pretty eye-opening Instagram page. I highly recommend checking out. I'm not a guy that's going to tell you, like, follow certain fitness people for whatever reasons. But, like, Jay Faruja is a guy that I follow as far as, like, my workout plans. Mm-hmm. He's awesome. But there's a guy called Jordan Syatt, and it's at Syatt Fitness, S-Y-A-T-T Fitness on Instagram. And what I like about him is he talks like he just speaks in normal terms. He's not like all about like these super nerdy fitness tips. And his whole thing is you're gonna screw up all the time. Like he has one post where the picture just says, it says, "You can't F this up." And what he's talking about is fitness. It's like, look, there are times I eat a McFlurry or I have all-you-can-eat sushi. And what's nice to know is...
Wait, what's bad about all-you-can-eat sushi?
It's bad for the stomach, last I heard. But the best part was his whole thing is like, look, man...
Wait, is Jack Daniels bad for you?
Yes.
Glenn, I've got some bad news for you, buddy.
But his whole thing is like, you know, sometimes you're just going to eat like a pig or you're going to drink like a maniac and then people will beat themselves up and then they'll just go down that downward spiral look, you did it. But that doesn't mean you have to stop being fitness conscious. Like he says, I want to tell you something. Look, you can't F this up. Just keep saying this. And he keeps writing it. You can't F this up. I don't care if you blew your calorie limit by 3,000 more than you're supposed to. You can't F this up. Here's the magic of it all. The way to F it up is to stop altogether if you just give up and quit and say you're done. Otherwise, you can't F this up. And once I started like paying attention to that.
That's kind of cool, actually.
It's really cool. No matter how many times you eat like crap, as long as you like maybe make it a point, you know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to get back on the stick and try my best. And then maybe next week, I'm going to fall off the wagon again, which is me every freaking week. But over time, and it's not going to happen. Look, if I would have been super fitness conscious, I probably would have a six pack, but I'm just not that guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to constantly blow my calorie input on the weekends. I'm going to constantly have a McFlurry. But more often than not, I'm fitness conscious and I'm seeing the weight disappear very slowly. But, you know, I mean, that was like 10 years ago. It was 280.
Yeah.
Now I'm at 202-ish, depending on the day. But like, he's right, man. And that's why I highly recommend that guy because every day he seems to have a post about that. Like, I feel like he's speaking to me. He's like, "Hey, Steve, I know you ate that McFlurry, but that doesn't mean tomorrow you don't go to the gym to punish yourself."
So how was that Stroopwafel McFlurry?
Overrated.
What?
Well, I don't know who overrated it. Me. I was so excited for
it.
You were pretty wound up about it. The episode was called Stroopwafel.
It was called Stroopwafel.
Yeah.
Honestly, the Oreo McFlurry is way better.
Okay.
It's like Thai food. I know they have other great things on their menu, but I'm always getting chicken pot Thai.
Yeah.
Chicken pad Thai is delicious. It's kind of like, dude, when I go out to eat, man, there's always amazing poultry and fish options. And I'm like, yes, I'll have the steak, please, medium rare.
Yeah.
You know, it's only recently that I'm like, okay, bring me the salmon. And it's only because I'm telling myself to adult.
Should be healthy.
And
let's
I eat the salmon and I'm like,
food.
You know, you're punishing yourself with a delicious salmon.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know what? The smoked salmon was delicious, but there's that voice that's like, what a steak.
Steak would have been better.
There was no bolt gun involved in this meal.
That's like my wife always laughs when she's like, why do you even open a menu at a pod Thai or a pod Thai? At a Thai restaurant.
At a pod Thai
place. That's right, a pod Thai place.
I open it up. I'm like, wow, the swimming rama sounds good. She's like, you're not going to get it. Sure I am. Or I'm like, that halibut looks really good. She's like, you're not going to order it. And I'm like, maybe I will. Sir, what would you like? Chicken pot Thai.
We've got
every time. I don't blame you, dude. It's good.
We've got a Thai place by my house that I will always... We'll get something else as the second entree, but always the mango curry.
Yeah.
100% every time. It's fantastic. It's just... And it's one of the only places in Tacoma that I think does a mango curry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great.
They nail it.
Get it every time.
You don't know how many times you're going to go to that place. So when you go, you want to make sure that you're guaranteed to get the best meal possible.
Absolutely.
It's like that with the McFlurry. I don't know how many times I'm going to get a McFlurry, but now I know to never deviate from the Oreo McFlurry.
You got to experiment once in a while to make sure that you're still on the right track.
It was so bad that I almost went to another McDonald's after that to get an Oreo McFlurry because I was like, if I'm going to enjoy this, but I was like, no, I already finished it.
Oh,
I can't
you were
do that.
Way. So it was like really not good.
It was good, but it wasn't an Oreo McFlurry.
It wasn't what the heart wanted.
It was like a swimming rama. It's fine.
It's okay.
Sure,
it's not the chicken.
It's not chicken pot Thai.
Right.
Chicken pot Thai McFlurry. I wonder.
Oh, you get out of here. Don't we have emails or something?
Yeah, we have another text. Thank you guys for last week's podcast. Steve, you are inspiring. Crazy, but inspiring.
That's true.
Glenn, my wife and I just had our daughter. We're both in our 40s. The risks for the women are there, but watch. Adam ruins everything on childbirth. It'll help you with your decision now and in the future.
Nice. Thanks.
For a second when I read that this morning, I was like copy and pasting this into a file. I was like, Did Glenn say? I was like, I forgot our conversation. First, I was like, why am I crazy?
Oh,
like,
oh, I was talking about the no kids. And then, right. then I went to the there's a time and a place for everything, and it's kids? Not off the table.
Yeah.
That said, we're probably not going to have kids. But it's, you know.
You just never know.
But yeah, but I was talking about really the fact that, you know, I'm 45 and Tawny's 17. And so I love you, baby.
Good answer.
And
she's only 17.
17. We're in
Daddy
Kentucky.
Said she's too young. Old enough for me to procreate. Cool.
That is creepy.
It's the creepiest lyric in all of rock music. Not all of rock, but it's up there.
Were you on the texturing where I was making memes of Kip and all that?
No.
Oh, it's weird. So you bring that up. So the new originals are apparently going to play this thing that Joe Dredd's putting on July 7th, and you have to do one hit wonders.
Oh, are you doing 17?
And 17 came up.
Please,
now,
no.
Now, 17 later got shot down because...
Because someone has a conscience. Terrible.
Well, no one wanted to sing it. And then it was like, well, Glenn could sing it. And I was like, look, guys, I don't think I can sing that with a straight face. And there was a series of Kip Winger memes that I made. And but basically, let's see here. I said... nothing like a maverick-shaped professional ballerina crooning about the joys of statutory rape. Of course I'm in.
Yeah, right?
That was regarding 17. And then Kyle Court was like, love that song. Always wanted to learn it on guitar. And I said, you shouldn't use a guitar on underage girls like that, Kyle. They're still kind of tender down there. And
Jesus.
Oh, F, I see what you meant now. Me too. And then I have Kip Winger saying, it's legal. In Kentucky. Then I have Kip Winger.
Can you get my box up?
Yeah.
Kip Winger saying, sure, I'll chaperone your daughter's sleepover.
Oh my gosh. And the picture of Kip Winger that you're using, it's like a leather jacket.
And he's
open.
Got his shirt off.
He's got, but he's got a sweater on, if you know what I mean.
And then this one says,
oh, gross.
Let's get hymen. Oops, I mean, let's get high, man.
Man. Wow. He did have wonderful hair, chest hair.
The song's about statutory rape.
It's about, it'd be a shame not to see you again. Oh my gosh.
I'm only 17.
And she said,
I'm only 17.
Group chant.
17.
Naughty.
And meanwhile, Kip was like 36. You know?
It's not like a 17-year-old and a 17-year-old.
Daddy says she's too young.
It's still enough for me.
How do you have that conversation
with
someone's father?
If I was in that situation, and, well, yeah, people love the song. It was a huge hit. But, I mean, I could picture. So he's talking about they just got jiggy. It was amazing. And then she's like, I'm only 17. I would be glazed with sweat. I would be sick to my stomach. Like, my God.
Quickly checking the laws in Washington State.
Yeah, if her folks find out about
this,
I am going to jail.
Yep.
I would feel... You know, if she said she was 18, I'd be like, yeah. But it's weird. Like, this is not kidding.
17.
You ain't seen love. Ain't seen nothing like me. She's only 17.
I've had two different incidents where I was just talking with a girl that was very attractive and appeared to be in her mid-20s, and they were both the same age at the time, as pointed out to me by someone else, 15 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one girl, it was actually her mom, was like, Glenn, she's 15. And I was like, you're kidding. And then another girl, Louis Galarza, yelled it across the parking lot. He's like, dude, she's 15. I'm like, dude, I'm just talking to her.
Yeah,
you know, like I was just having a conversation.
But
bro.
Everyone's looking out for you.
Thanks, man.
Because they're weird.
I'm married and I was pretty serious about it.
Right. Next thing you know, on social media, it's like Glenn Cannon, Seattle's Kip Winger.
Right.
You know what the most offensive part of this song? It's not the lyrics. It's the fact that it took three people to write this song. It's written by Bo Hill, Kip Winger, and Reb Beach.
Complicated. Very complicated.
So that means two of those three did not shoot down the content of the lyrics.
Right. Right.
She gives a magic mountain. No, she's a magic mountain. She's a leather glove. She's my soul. It must be love.
She's a magic mountain. So it's dark and there's a roller coaster that goes fast inside
maybe.
Of her?
At one point it says, yeah, such a bad girl, loves to work me overtime, feels good dancing close to the borderline.
So skeezy. Like, it's just gross.
I can't even listen to it anymore.
Who is the piano player, Great Balls of Fire, that married his 14-year-old cousin?
Jimmy Lee.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yes. Yeah, well, she's 14-year-old cousin.
Yeah.
And then you got Kiss singing Christine 16.
Then he's all like, she is my family. She's just the first cousin far enough away from me.
We don't plan on having kids.
We won't have kids.
If we did, it'd have a third eye over its head.
They'd have so many birth defects. You'd probably flip your lids.
I just want to give a shout out. I mean, we've gotten a lot of messages. I meant to grab a couple. One was like, I think on Instagram and all that. But like, we've gotten a bunch of nice messages about last week's podcast, which I thought was funny because I just felt like I was venting about my family. And then it just went down that road of just like doing things no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
Who cares about what people think about you?
Mm-hmm.
And here's one from Austin that says, hey, thank you guys for talking about what you talked about last week. Really hit home with me and made me feel like I'm not alone. I've always had dreams of either starting a band with my friends, making a career by building and or fixing guitars. People have always told me that I can't make a living just doing that, even with having to deal with my heart condition. But it always makes me feel like I will never be able to fulfill my dreams because I'm constantly worrying about my health or my parents. So thank you for letting me feel that I'm not the only one that feels like that, from Austin. Yeah,
bro.
I think we have everybody. You have people in your life that care about you but don't realize the way that they quote unquote care about you actually is bringing you down.
Yeah.
And man, I would tell you, the making a living as a musician thing is beyond challenging. It's like deciding to ice skate uphill for a living, but
it's doable.
Being a luthier can be extraordinary.
Excuse me?
A luthier is a guy that works on builds guitars, right?
Oh, and that's a cool
it
term.
Can be luthier. Yeah. Yeah, it can be extraordinarily
not roofier. That's what Bill Cosby did for a living.
Right, not roofier, which you know, as long as you don't get caught, you make a good living doing that.
Oh my.
But jello pudding.
She just wants jello pudding.
Just guys that are good, that have a reputation for being good. There's some great girls too. I shouldn't say guys. It's just a general term, but make really good money being luthiers, working guitars, doing setups, pickup installs, you name it. But if you get into the guys where they're actually doing custom builds, like I met a guy from Bremerton that builds acoustic guitars, and he builds maybe 8 or 9 a year. And these are instruments that people pay upwards of $10,000 for.
Wow!
Because of the level of the craftsmanship.
Yeah.
And there is a there's a sect for that. So if you're serious about becoming a luthier, man, you can really make a great living doing it, like a really great living. And you might not end up, you could end up at a big company like Gibson or Martin or who knows, like the guys over at Martin, for example.
Or you could just do your own thing, really.
You do your own thing. Yeah, I had this great conversation with this guy. I'd never heard of his guitars before, but they are $8,500 a piece, 12 grand a piece. And he cranks out, you know, however many a year, and he probably makes $80,000 to $100,000 a year just building acoustic guitars.
I imagine if he's married, he's probably cranking out more than a single man.
Dude, right? Yeah.
Hey, yo.
So, actually, that even makes me think my buddy Jim Wagner from WCR Pickups and his wife, they build and custom wind pickups for a living. That's what they do, him and his wife. They do it right out of their home. And they're amazing. I mean, Tony and I are both endorsed by them, but I mean, guys from like Buck Cherry and on down the line all use WCR pickups. So
Buck Cherry's at El Corazon tomorrow. For the Megacast tomorrow. Josh Todd and a couple of the guys from Buck Cherry are going to be hanging out with Ted and I on the Megacast.
Nice. Cool.
For an interview and to do an acoustic performance.
Wow.
There you go. Look at that.
Nice.
Hey, cheap plug right there. Thank you.
So you can make money as a luthier.
Yep.
And plug.
Yes. Plug away, baby.
Plug
away. Let's do a voicemail.
All here right.
One right here. Hopefully it
plays. All right. This drives me crazy. Old women with belly button piercings. I mean, really? I mean, after like 6 kids, that thing's got to go, okay? You know, when you're 24, that's fine. But beyond that, I think not.
Bro, I just want to say you're going to the wrong strip clubs. Beyond that.
Or the right strip clubs. Which one are you going to?
Right?
I'll go over to Meemaw's. You know, dude, I've never run into a senior citizen with a navel piercing, so I don't know where it is you're going.
Too soon. Like, just think about it, man.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, we're all getting older, and it was 90s where the belly button piercings got big. That was 20 years ago.
They should change up. You know how, like, some people thought it was cool they had the belly button piercing with that little zipper thing, kind of as, like, the pendant?
Yeah.
I think when you get older, maybe you change it. Like, it's like a little cane or something, or a little button that you hit if you fall down and you can't get up.
You can hook your life alert bracelet. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Belly button ring.
Luckily, her blood type was on her navel ring.
Who cares?
Right? I mean,
seriously, you getting worked up about that, dude? Come on.
Well, no, he probably had, saw something that, you know, Now he's up. He's up nights over it. He can't unsee
it. Yeah, right.
It.
People live their life. They want a belly button ring at 70 years or 69 years old. Nice. Let them have it.
Nice.
It's not as bad as people that go overboard on the ear gauges and then they've got that flap of skin.
Yeah, my buddy had a deflated one. I guess this is the only way I put it, but it was like one of those. He had to get reconstructive surgery on his ear gauge because I think one of our rockers, maybe a former rocker,
I saw on Facebook, she posted a picture and showed like she had. They had a cut part of the ear and then sewed the ear together and eventually it'll heal and it'll be like a minimal scar, I'd imagine. And she's excited because she can wear normal earrings again.
Wow.
That weird gauge trend. And I saw people doing like gauges in their nose and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm seeing into your skull.
Or the one where it's like, right, it's the little piercing that's in between your lip and your chin.
Yeah.
But I saw someone did a gauge so you could actually see their teeth through it.
Like how do you swish?
right? It just leaks out.
You know, like listen. Listerine's like, damn, we lost one. You know, like,
or do you put your straw through that
and you can still talk?
Yeah,
it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah,
you know the one that weirds me out. If you got them, don't feel like don't be upset if like we're talking about. I don't care if you got it, you got it. I've seen a lot of hot girls with them, but I can't get behind the dermals, those tattoo, the piercings that are like in body parts that don't
and
have
the chest.
I don't dig that either.
Like
I see that and I'm like, yeah, I get why you might find that cool. Like I saw one girl had one like on her throat.
Ooh.
And it just looks like a pendant without the necklace.
Yeah.
See, it's not my thing.
It's kind of cool.
With girls, it's like...
I don't want to touch it, though.
You've got something really cool going on. Don't mess with it. Like, you know, just you're an attractive girl. I've seen some interesting ones. Don't mess it up.
I knew a person that worked at a piercing tattoo shop, and she ended up getting magnets in her hands. Like, they would put them under...
She had a fun time at the airport.
Exactly. Eventually, they just kind of pushed their own way out. They rejected, so she was like, well, I'm not going to try it again. But it was like one of those kind of weird sort
of... Was she trying to become an X-Man or something?
I don't know. It was a trend that hit for like...
Is she like that has a hard time picking up paper clips? And just like
she was able to then.
That's a great magic trick.
She was doing it because it was on the back of her hand, and she could like pick up like it wasn't a heavy one, but it was enough to like do like paper clips or like small things. It was kind of neat.
I mean, it's fun at a bar.
Yeah,
watch. I could pick up a paper clip. Whoop. No,
it's like if I could pick this up without using my hand,
I got nothing.
It's just not my thing. I don't know. Like if my wife had that and I would run my hand on her body like I like to do, and then all of a sudden you hit like a stud.
Yeah, you got something nice. Don't mess with something nice. It's nice. Leave it alone. Don't mess with that.
I feel the same way.
Nice.
I was like, was it Kat Von D that says she doesn't have any tattoos on her boobs because she's like, I just don't want to mess with perfection.
Yeah, don't do that.
Good call.
You know, girls,
boobs are awesome.
I don't mind girls with tattoos.
Boobs
that's fine, but you know, don't you got a great thing going there. Don't foul that up.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's really nice.
Yeah.
Don't mess with that. It's nice.
Certain parts don't
make it nice.
It's nice.
Keep it nice.
Oh, someone wants advice from three married dudes. That's the subject line.
Oh, we are. I was like, wait a minute.
Don't get anything pierced, bro. Keep it nice.
This is from Jaden. Just said, hey, I got engaged back in March, and I'm looking at a wedding in June of 2020. If you guys want to come, you're more than welcome. No pressure. We bought a house about a year and a half ago. We've been living together for 4 years. With that being said, we have everything and we would need gift-wise, and we need your advice. Would it be frowned upon to ask for money for the honeymoon? I know it's kind of tacky to ask for just straight cash, but an amazing trip for a honeymoon would be awesome. Thanks for the advice in advance. I agree with Glenn.
Yeah,
there's even websites now where you can have a wedding registry where it's like a GoFundMe for our honeymoon.
Yeah, dude, just straight up say, look, we're not doing it. What do they call that? Where people register.
Gift registry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, we're not doing a traditional, we just want to go on an amazing trip, so if you were going to get us a gift, just throw, you know, even if it's $10, if you're going to get us, you know, magnets for our hands or whatever.
All you have to say is, we have everything we need for our home.
No, I don't think it's douchey at all.
No, not at all.
In fact, I've been to weddings where you go to the registry and they have your typical things. I bet just to appease the people that are traditionalists. I don't want to give you what you want. I want to buy the pots and pans that you don't need.
Here's that blender.
But it had like this. I think Munson had it. It was like all the regular stuff. But we also would love it if you would rather donate towards like our vacation to Mexico, wherever it was.
Well, and
I put money towards that, and I actually gave more money than I was planning on because I'm like, That's nice. A great idea.
Yeah, Mexico. Yeah,
and I want my right? I want my brother to go on a great.
It'd be great if they had like a Nabanco, like a debit card reader there on the table. You just walk up and swipe.
But oh,
that'd
be awesome,
I know, dude. I know.
Even if you don't do, you don't a want to do the registry,
Squarespace.
Yeah, exactly. The Square Reader. Yeah. Even if you don't like, if you have all the fun things you need, make a registry with all the stupid stuff that you want that is super expensive. Because
yeah.
Every once in a while, you're going to score something really great. That's how I got.
We all went in and we got him the hot air balloon.
Right, I got my big. Cog,
yeah.
Like 200-pound coffee table, just because Michelle and I were looking at each other and we're like, I don't think anyone's going to buy this, but let's put it on there. It'll be funny. And guess what? BJ bought
Someone
it.
Someone did.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thanks, well, no, BJ. Yeah.
BJ probably went and threw it all, and bless him for this. He's like, what's the most expensive thing?
He might have.
And he sees that. He's like, I have no idea what the F this is, but screw it. I'll buy it for him.
They want it. It's theirs.
And he came to me before he was like down for it. He's like, do you really want this? And I was like, yes.
That's amazing, man.
Yes, I do.
That's cool.
And then he made it happen. So,
That's badass.
Every once in a while, you're going to get somebody who wants to get you something on that registry. Just put the ridiculous stuff on it.
Let's check out another voicemail, 253-271-4787.
Hi, guys. It's Mama.
Mama!
Hope you're having a wonderful weekend.
You will.
And yeah. I just thinking about you again. I think about you all the time. I consider you my boys.
We're here.
So when I think about you, I have to call you. I just have to.
Thanks, Mama.
Or text you. This time I chose to call.
I think she texted us.
I love you. I love you very much. And again, I hope you're enjoying this nice weekend that we're having. Bye-bye.
I think this voicemail is from like a month ago. So
it
I
was
think
a
we
great
did.
Weekend.
Yes,
it was awesome. I loved it.
Best weekend awesome. Ever.
And this weekend coming up actually looks really nice, too. So I'm kind of happy
about
that.
Shaping up to be a good one, yeah. I'm going to be doing a lot of wrestling stuff, as we heard.
Wrestling. Oh, yeah.
In our closing that we started the show with. Yeah, she also said, here's a note to say I love you guys. I'm thinking about you and wondering how you guys are doing. Hope you all are happy and have a fun weekend. Love, Mama, and a bunch of awesome emojis.
Nice.
Cool. Kissies and all that good stuff. We got an email. Migs, when are you going to make a promo like this, brother? You can play the Hogan part, and Lulu can be the Ultimate Warrior.
Uh-oh.
They sent me this link, dude. So there's a video of Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. And one person even said, is Hulk Hogan wearing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles face or something? Like, he's got this weird green military mask on.
Really?
But, like, it doesn't fit his face because his face is so big.
Just remember that drugs are bad.
Dude. I'll even pull it up so you can watch along if I can find it. I'll have to find it later, but let me see if I can find the damn thing.
What happened to his daughter? She had a reality.
Brooke, she's still hot.
She's still hot.
Oh, yeah, but she had a reality TV show for a
Brooke
minute.
Brooke knows best.
And then,
oh, yeah, what is up with that away. Mask?
Okay, so you got the one, right? Can you show it to Glenn? Just so he has a little perspective.
Yeah, see
before.
If it, as long as it might. Yeah, there we go. Can you see that? Yeah, okay. it's like an army mask, but yeah, it's
it looks
too
like a paintball
small.
Mask or
paintball,
something.
Yeah, good call on that. Yeah.
So I love this person said Lulu could be the Ultimate Warrior because at the beginning of the promo, Ultimate Warrior doesn't speak; he just
maybe
growls and grunts.
Maybe he's got herpes and he needed a way to like I can't go on the camera with these giant boils and sores on my lips.
So let's check out the audio of what this promo sounded like. This promo is amazing, dude. Like it, cocaine.
Maniacs, me and the Ultimate know what we're facing when we go to war in SummerSlam against Sergeant Slaughter and his troops. We know. They've got us outmanned, but we've got them outpowered. We've both got the heavy artillery, and we're playing by Slaughter's rules, which are no rules at all. Could be chemical warfare.
That you hear the Ultimate Warriors growling during this entire.
Just want to say again that drugs are bad.
Cocaine makes you say fun things.
Well, just learn your drug. Figure out what works with you and stick with that. You know?
Maybe don't do it when the camera's pointing at you.
Yeah.
Could be hand grenades. It doesn't matter. But the terrain is going to make the difference. It's not the swamps of Vietnam. It's not the sands of Persian Gulf. It's the beautiful Madison Square Garden where all the warriors and all the Hulkamaniacs will unite to make the most powerful army of all warriors. All the Hulkamaniacs and the warriors that have been...
And now Hogan's growling.
Oh, yeah, man, you gotta switch it up.
Yeah.
From others in the sand that you have taken from Sergeant Slaughter, we have surrendered ourselves in a foxhole.
I don't understand this.
I don't either.
I would love it if, like, other sports. Like, I'd love it if, like, NASCAR started doing this.
Yes.
You know, well, like, can we get this going on in other sports? Like,
baseball.
Tennis. I want to see tennis.
Baseball would be good.
We're like, I'm taking to the court. I'm going to find Serena Williams. I'm going to skin her and kill her. It'll be a three love with no love, and I'm going to destroy Serena Williams. Like,
and
now
Serena
I'm going to watch
Williams
tennis.
Like,
it's going to be deuces for you,
yeah,
brother.
Right, right.
I'm in.
I get the reason why he's got the mask on.
Because they're fighting Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah, it's an army thing. Like, I don't know
Sergeant
how...
Sergeant Slaughter's a military
guy.
It's
a bit of a stretch.
But this... Follow me here. Yeah, this is about... Yeah.
Well, that's how we should do the podcast from now on. When one talks, the other guys growl. I think that's a good idea, don't you?
I'm John McEnroe, and I'm not selling the Bic shaver. I'm out there shaving the competition down to nothing.
With the most awesome force in the World Wrestling Federation, combined with the sickness of my warriors. Let them speak, and let the Hulkamaniacs attach themselves to the concrete.
So this part coming up, they clearly practiced. So this is all intentional.
A Madison Square Garden, cause what you gonna do with Hulkamania and the Ultimate Warrior destroy you.
I love old wrestling promos.
They were the best. They made no sense, but they were the best.
And they will elevate anything you do. I did a tweet where I was like, I just wish board gamers would do this. Coming out into a ring, just cut a promo, and then just sit down and play your board game.
Be like, Marco Gonzalez, good game pitching for the Mariners. You struck out four. How do you feel about it?
Well, brother.
Actually, I would love it if I was at the dentist and the nurse and the dentist came in.
Listen, brother, here's what we're going to do. We're going to clean your teeth, and then you got two cavities we're going to fill.
We're going to make you feel mean. We're going to get you smiley and shiny. All right, all right.
What you gonna do, patient, when the water pick runs wild on your gum, brother?
Spit, please.
What are you doing the rest of the day?
Hey, seriously, dentist, stop doing small talk.
Oh, they do it for funsies.
I know they do.
You know they do. One more email, and then we got to roll on out. This is from Cody. I was just listening to this week's podcast, which I think was 2 weeks ago, because this was from May 17th. So maybe a few weeks ago. The Kia Soul conversation was killing me.
Oh.
I own one. I'm a 5'10", 360-pound guy at the time of purchase. I got the weirdest looks, but now no one can imagine me in anything else. Yeah. I have to say, it's probably my favorite car I've owned thus far. It corners flat, 5-speed, only 100 horsepower, so every time it's getting on I-5, you feel like a race car driver without breaking the limit. Dude, I'm like that with my Jeep Renegade. Only wish I got a year later for the 6-speed. Already eyeing one of the newer turbo ones as a replacement.
Whoa.
Twice the horses.
Turbo Soul.
They're cool looking. I don't know what the problem is with the Soul.
And you know what? Now that I've been thinking about it, even after we talked about them.
I love the Kia Soul.
I'm seeing them everywhere. And I'm like, now you notice them.
It's like the Renegade. Dude, I see a Renegade everywhere now.
I notice them now too.
With those cars, I don't know what it is, but all white with the black wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Looks sharp, man.
Yeah. I saw a red one, and I was like, it's not as flashy as the white one. And
any other color looks bad, in my opinion. Not any other color, but a lot of the other colors I've seen.
Here's something that I'll leave with you guys. My wife noticed that we only have, for the most part, cars that are red, white, blue, black, and silver.
That's quite a bit of options.
Yeah.
But if you, but those are the only colors out there. Like, every once in a while, you might see, an olive green Subaru.
Yeah.
But beyond that, it's just those colors, those five colors.
You got to go back to that, 1920s to 1930s Henry Ford. It's like, yep, you can have a Ford in any color you want, as long as it's black.
Yeah.
Henry, good on you, brother.
Well, we got to get running, but thank you guys for listening again. Like I said, 3-2-1 Battle this Friday. Come join me if you want to hang out, watch some wrestling. If you're in the Portland area, hopefully I'll see you at the Hawthorne Theater on Saturday. That's
nice.
Going to be a blast. And then Sunday at Jazz Bones in Tacoma, two Defy shows back-to-back. It's going to be a blast. Hopefully I'll see you. I'll growl at you. We'll go, Glenn, you got your big CD release show coming up at the Crocodile.
July 12th, man. July 12th. Tickets are on sale. Get the tickets. Got word Disc Makers is literally printing the album as we speak.
Yeah,
hit up all my Kickstarter pledges last night saying send me your t-shirt sizes. Things are happening. Cannot wait to start playing this stuff live. We got a ton of cool shows in July and August. Three festivals coming up this summer. But be there at the Croc if you can, because I can't wait to unleash this band on people.
Speaking of shows, also June 28th, brother, over at the Tractor Tavern.
That's right.
Brody going to be playing with Solar Tone and Jericho Hill. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's over
it's
in Ballard. So that's
going
to be a blast. June 28th. Speaking of t-shirts, prowrestlingtees.com/I'm Steve Miggs. I got a brand new design. Shout out to Batty Bat Art. She made an awesome drawing of
me.
And that shirt's available now. Buy it so I can eat tomorrow.
A McFlurry.
Not a Stroop waffle. Stay positive.
I do with Hulkamania and the Ultimate Warrior destroy you.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.